begin this week. Chassidus Shavuot. Eile Shmoyso Anoshim, Asher Sholach Moshe Losor is Oretz, Vayikra Moshe, Loishea bin Nun Yoshua. Moshe called Hoshea bin Nun Yoshua. Why did it say Hoshea bin Nun? It should be Hoshea ben Nun. So Chasam Sofer says that there's a medrash that tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Sarai's name to Sarah, the Yud complained that I was on part of the name of a tzedekah like Sarah, and now the Yud's been taken away. I've lost my chashivas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Yud, don't worry, because that Yud, right now, you're at the end of the name. And also right now, it's a, you're on tzedekah, it's a woman. You're going to be on a man's name. You're going to be at the beginning of the name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that Yud and gave it to Yeshua. Hoshea became Yeshua. So Chasam Sofer says there's a problem, because Sarai, the Yud at the end of the name, has no nekudas at all, while Yehoshua has a Shvua, has two dots. So what are you going to do? Where do you get the two dots from? So there's no problem. What do you do? His name was Hoshea ben Nun. So you take from the ben. Ben is a segel, three dots. Take away two of the dots. You put them under the Yud, says Yehoshua, as Yehoshua bin Nun, and it works out. That's why it says over here, Yehoshua bin Nun. So says the Chasam Sofer. There's a Shaila that comes up, and it so happens this came up in Avas Yitzchok. They had this Shaila. They built an extension in the front of the shul. And when they built this extension, it landed up, the people who were at the front of the Mizrach Vant, all of a sudden their seats moved eight rows behind. So the question is now, the shul wants to sell off the front eight rows now. Are they allowed to sell those front eight rows that were added? Or do the people who sat there before in the front rows say, we have a right to move up? Right? Who has Kadima? Can they sell it as new seats? They say, no, we get the front eight rows in Beis Medrash. So the Vushi Asrod, who's a Pirish on the side of Shulchan Aruch, he said when he had this shot, they came to him. And they had a tiny of the people. So he told them like this. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, took the Yud of Sarai and gave it to Yeshua. Hoshea became Yeshua. But the problem is, it's very nice that the Yud got compensated. But what about the Hay? The Hay was at the front of the name, was Hoshea. And now it's Yeshua. So the Hay got moved into second place. She said, and you don't see that the Hay was able to have a tiny. You see from this, because the hay wasn't moved, they just put a yud in front. When you're not moved out of place, just something's moved in front of you, that's not called me. You can't have a tain at all. Therefore, he told the people, you have to accept. And I don't know what happened to the shul there. What happened there? Read it fresh. Okay. So that comforted the hay. Got bonus there. Okay. The Pasuk says that they were told to check out the land. Hayesh po eitz, if this tree is there. Rashi says, what's pshat hayesh po eitz? Im yesh bem odom kosher. If there are kosher people, elecha yidin there. Sheyegin aleim b'schusay, to protect the nation. So the Satmar Rav asked two questions. Number one is, how do you know if somebody is not odom kosher? Just because he's wearing a black hat and white shirt, there's no raya, right? We can see that in Shiva, right? There's no raya. Not everybody's perfect just because they've got black hat and white shirt on. And even if they're wearing a kapota and a humbug, even then it's not a raya. So how do you tell if somebody is an Adam Kosher or not? And secondly, the Satmar Rav asked, that's very nice. Hayesh po eitz means check if they're good Jews there. But how do you learn the end of the pasuk? Lekach tem b'priyar, take from the fruit of the land. How does that flow? What's that got to do with the tzaddik in the land? So Satmar Rav said, fascinating idea. He said, if you want to tell if somebody's a good person, there's one way you can always tell. Look at the children. Look at the children. You see a person that has all good children, you know it must be good parents too. So check, the children seem to have Yerushimai Melech people. You know they're real, the parents there. So lekachtem mipriya aretz. Look at the priya aretz. Take from them. That's your dogma. That's going to be your to be able to tell you. what the parents are. Then you'll know Hayesh Ba'etz, if the people there are Erecha people or not. So don't forget, all of you guys, your reflection on your parents. People are checking out to know what your parents are. Rahman al Islam. Okay. The Pasuk says, Vayahas Kalev Yisra'om. Kalev, he calmed the people down, he quietened the people. And later on we see that Kalev did a special thing by this. The Avdi Kalev Ekev Hoysa Ruach HaCheresimoy. He was something very special. He had Ruach HaCheres, something special about Kalev. Vayimalei Hashem, it says there, Vayimalei Achroi, Vayyosu Loretz. See, he's got a special portion of Yisrael, a special reward. What did he do so special? So some of Farishim learn. The great thing he did was Vayas Kalev Yisra'om. He silenced the people. Now, if you learn through the Pesukim over here, and you look what was happening, Klal Yisrael were in a terrible state. And then Kalev wants to get their attention. Because Rashi says, Hishtik es Kulim, he silenced them. He said to them, V'chizu bilvad osalona ben Amram, is this all Ben Amram did for us? Now, why did he use the term Ben Amram? Because these people weren't interested in hearing a hesped and great things about Moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted to hear also more things against him. So they said, huh, this isn't the only thing Ben Amram. Ben Amram is a derogatory term. Like Shaul HaMelech talks about Ben Yishai. He doesn't even say his name. So over here, he used this term Ben Amram. Oh, you know what else Ben Amram did? And they wanted to, yeah, what else did he do? And there was silence. And then he starts saying, yeah, he got us the mall and he split the sea for us. And then they probably all went, ugh. And then afterwards, they went back to the same as before. So what was so great about what he did? He didn't achieve anything. It was a total failure. He wanted to calm the people, but he did absolutely nothing. They were silent for a second and went back to it. So why is the Torah considering it such a great thing, what Kalev did? So Rav Moshe Nisefer has a fascinating pshat. He says that just like we know that there's something called Chaye Shor, if somebody on Shabbos is dying and you can save his life, you're allowed to do it. Pekuach Nefesh, you can do a melacha on Shabbos. Even if it's only going to save his life for 20 minutes, you're still allowed to do it. 20 minutes also got a chashivas. Every second has a chashivas. So you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for that. So you see from that your gashmi is taking life, your guf, every second is a chashivas. Alachas kama v'kama, how much chashivas your ruchnis has. If a person is a rasha, and he stops for a second, a rasha, he'll daven a tefillah. He'll put on tefillin one day. What's the difference? He put on tefillin once. Yeah, that once he put on tefillin is unbelievable. If you can encourage somebody to put on tefillin once, and then afterwards he stops again, so you think, oh, it was a failure. I wanted to make him into Baal Tshuva, but it didn't work. No, it did work. He put on tefillin that day. It's Chaye Shor is also a tremendous value. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us over. By Yas Kodesh Ha'am, he silenced them. Yeah, for a minute they were silent. They went back again. But that minute, they weren't rebelling that minute. So that alone is a chashivas. It's so important to remember that. Many times in life we feel we failed. We tried to do something, didn't work out. It didn't fail. That moment, what you were doing and trying, that alone had a chashivas. There's another pshat I once heard. B'shem Rav Brudny, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Mir, lived about 30 years ago, and he said a very interesting idea. He said like this, there's a Tosfos Yontov that asked the Kasha, Asara Nisim Hoyu Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. One of those Nisim was, Shaloi Roa Kohen Gadol Keri B'Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol never saw Keri on Yom Kippur. Now, to see Keri comes about from having bad thoughts. That can cause Keri. The Kohen Gadol to see Keri Yom Kippur seems highly unlikely. They kept him awake all night. They gave Musa to him all night. So how is it possible the Kohen is going to become Tomei that night from Keri if he was the biggest tzad in Klal Yisrael and they're giving him Musa and he's awake? How is it shaykh such a thing? And that's called a nes. Asor nisim hayu beis hamikdash. So he explains, whenever you have two forces opposing each other, one force feels it's about to lose out. So the one that's losing puts all his koyachs in to try and stay alive. In English, there's an expression, it's darkest before dawn. Darkness feels it's losing its power. say, tries to keep the darkness there, puts all its clear, gets extra dark, and then it loses out. A candle has a big flicker before it goes out, tries to stay alive, and then it dies out. At the end of winter, all of a sudden, very often, you get one final snowstorm. You think it's spring already, and then again, all of a sudden, it turns cold again, you get a snowstorm again. What do you know about that, Mexico? Then you have a person, very often, there's a person who's in a coma, and they wake up just before they die. The day before, people say, oh, he was just getting better. Well, he woke up. And then Nebuch and Iftar. These are very common things in life we see. If you have a little brother sometimes, and you're fighting with him, you've beaten him up about 6 times, and all of a sudden you see him in the corner of the room, and, and you see as he puts every bit of chaos, comes in one last time, flying him, and you throw him away. So again, that's also, he's putting in all his koichas to try and win, and then he loses out. At least you hope so. So the Yetzer Hara knows that on Yom Kippur, the Klal Yisrael is going to have a kapara, a total kapara of a Klal Yisrael. Who's going to make this kapara? The Kohen Gadol. So the Yetzer Hara, the night of Yom Kippur, puts all his koichas in. He is going to work, putting every bit of energy he has, focusing on that Kohen Gadol to make him Tomei, because he knows he won't be able to do the Avodah. And so therefore you need Mamash and Nes to make sure the Kohen Gadol shouldn't become Tomei. So Rav Brudny asked on this Tosis Yontov, why does the Yetzer Hara care so much? There's a Sgan Kohen Gadol waiting in the wings. There's a substitute. It's warming up. It's ready. Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei. The sub comes on. He takes over. You have that Avodah same as before. So Rav Brudny says, you see from this, pshat is, because it's true, the Sgan will take over and he'll do the whole Avodah. But there's been a hefsek. It's not the same. When things are going smoothly and it stops for a second, you lose momentum and it's not the same afterwards. You see that when a person is learning and is learning, he's steiging away, and all of a sudden he stops in the middle of the sugya, has a shmooze and comes back. It's not the same. Your understanding of the sugya is not the same. A person comes into davening, he starts davening, and then he stops for a little shmooze in the middle. You know, focus isn't the same as if you come in and just focus on the Rabbani Shalom from beginning to end. It's different. You might be done the whole davening and said the whole davening, but it's not the same. Chaim Shmuel Levis used to always say, a very famous word from him, if you haven't heard it, you'll definitely hear it in your lifetime many times in his name, that when Rabbi Kiva, after 12 years, he came home and he'd heard his wife say that she wouldn't mind if he goes for another 12 years, he didn't even go inside and have a cup of coffee with her. He went back and learnt another 12 years. Couldn't he go and say thank you very much, have a cup of coffee in a Danish, cheese Danish, and then go back? Why didn't he go and say thank you first? So he says this famous yesod of his, 2 times 12 does not equal 24. 24 years straight, the momentum is so much more than 2 times 12. A hefsek in the middle spoils everything. So Rav Brudny said the same thing over here. Klal Yisrael was screaming. We want to go back to Mitzrayim. They're afraid. Kolev comes and stops them for a second. They went back to it again, but the momentum is lost. Now when they're screaming, it's not the same as before, because without that momentum, it's a different type of screaming. If Kolev wouldn't have stopped them for that second, who knows? Maybe they would have gone back to Mitzrayim. So it's incredible what he achieved by just stopping that momentum. And it became a new scream again afterwards. That made it was on a lower level. And because of that, perhaps he saved Klal Yisrael with that. So he gets tremendous schar for what he did at that moment. One of the things that the Meraglim said He said, they said, we were in our eyes like grasshoppers. And so we were in their eyes. So the Koska Rebbe said, you saw it very important for you at this age. And that is that how we were in our eyes, there's nothing wrong with that. We felt like grasshoppers. It makes sense. You've got giants there. So you would feel like a grasshopper when you're in front of giants. Just to tell you, it's worth pointing out over here, Balaturim, which this is the type of Balaturim I would expect them to teach in kindergarten. The type you can make nice pictures with and everything. It's surprising they didn't teach this one. Listen to this Balaturim. He says we were like grasshoppers, like it says in the Medrash. Sha'onak Echod, one giant, Ochel Rimoin, he ate a pomegranate, V'zorek ha-klippa, he threw the peel. V'chol yud beis meraglim nechnesu leishev v'soicha. All 12 meraglim went inside the peel of the pomegranate. Ebnei atzel, to get shade from the peel. Ever heard this? You ever heard this medrash? I don't know why they don't teach it in kindergarten. It's the type they usually pick. Yeah, but this is more exciting than that, no? 12 of them in one pomegranate peel? Okay, so over here it says, we felt like grasshoppers. It's certainly understandable. If you're in a pomegranate peel, 12 of you, then you feel like a grasshopper. But what is v'chein hayinu b'neim? So we were in their eyes. How do you know what you were in their eyes? Why are you saying that's how you are? What do you care how other people look at you? That's not your business to look and worry about how other people look at you. This is a big mistake that people always make in life. They're so worried what other people are thinking. And there's a famous line, which is that when a person is 20, he's worried what other people are thinking. When he's 40, he doesn't care anymore what other people are thinking. And when he's 60, he realizes that nobody is thinking about him at all. So you can know that, or you have to wait till 60 for that. Nobody cares. You want a davening, elach a davening. You're going to look funny? No, it's not going to look. Nobody cares. A person always feels uncomfortable. What happens if I cry in davening and somebody sees me crying? It's going to be so embarrassing. It's fine. Don't worry about it. People do that with everything in life. People are always worried, how do they look in the eyes of other people? Don't worry so much. You have to do what's right in life. Whatever's Ratzon Hashem, don't worry about other people. Okay, then the next pasuk says, the people cried that night, and Chazal tell us, because they cried that night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you cried, a bechir crying for nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed that night to be a bechir l'doris. This is going to be the night of Tisha B'Av. So Rav Shimon Shmuel asks that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalet says, Eicha is written in the order of the Aleph Beis. You have Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, all in the order of the Aleph Beis. When you're in Perek Gimel, I'm sure you'll notice in Eicha in a few weeks, you'll notice there, Mr. Shem, hopefully it should be a Yontav for this year, but you'll see in Perek Gimel, when you get to the Pasuk for Ayin, and the Pasuk of Pei is before the Pasuk for Ayin. Why is it that it's out of order there? It's ordered in the Aleph Beis until you get the Pasuk of Pei is before Ayin. Ayin should be before the pay. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Dalet says that because the Meraglim, who caused the whole Churban, they said with their pair, with their mouths, pay is Mamash to the pair, what they didn't see with their Ayin, with their eyes. So that's why it's written out of order. So Rabbi Shimon Schwab asks, I don't understand. You look through everything they said and everything is true. There's nothing which isn't true that they said. So why is it a tain on them that they said something which isn't true when it was all true? How could the Gemara say that? They said with their mouths what they didn't see. So he explains that seeing things is a matter of perspective. You see what you want to see. And I always give a perfect example. You know, let's say you see a Rebbe standing outside a classroom and he's screaming at a kid. So if I go by and you go by, we're both thinking differently. You're thinking, Nebuchadnezzar, the poor kid. Can't the Rebbe leave him alone? And I'm thinking, Nebuchadnezzar, the poor Rebbe, what that kid must have done in order for the Rebbe to get upset like that. So you see things how you want to see them. You see things differently. In other words, it all depends on beforehand. What is it, your psychological makeup beforehand, what you're going to see. So over here, the Meraglim came to Eretz Yisrael. They could have seen Kedusha Torets. They could have seen the Kedusha in Chevron, the Makom HaMikdash. They had a choice what to see. But what did they see? They saw all bad things. There's only one way they saw the bad things. They saw things in a negative light is because before they went, they decided to see that. In other words, they knew before they went. They hadn't said anything yet before they went. But they knew when you go to see something, you can decide beforehand. I'm sure it's happened with you. Your parents want to take you somewhere and you say, it's going to be lousy. If you think that way, yeah, it's going to be lousy because you're going to see everything negatively. So over here, they decided beforehand. So therefore, they saw everything negatively and said the negative things. So even though they didn't actually say it, it's as if they said it beforehand because they had decided before that they're going to see bad things. So they said with their mouths what they didn't see their eyes means they had decided beforehand what they were going to see. this is also important to make sure that person has to be open-minded. Don't make decisions beforehand. Go with a negative view of things. Person's going to camp. Ugh, it's lousy, that camp. I know I'm going to have a terrible time there. Now, I've heard people talk like that. Yeah, I'm sure they will have a lousy time. If that's how they're approaching it, they will have a negative time. You've got to look at the milers and think of what could be good and look for the good when you're there. And Mr. Shem, you'll see good there. Good Shabbos.
Rabbi said that shot in
Shabbos.
Rabbi said that shot in